Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is the gospel lesson, which has already been read, and the title for our meditation this morning is Living Like It's the End. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Dearly beloved in the Lord, it is Stewardship Sunday. And I was not there with you when you woke up this morning on Stewardship Sunday. And that's good because that would be creepy. But I didn't have to be there with you when you woke up on this Stewardship Sunday because I just have this sense that on this Stewardship Sunday, you woke up and in your best Andy Williams voice, you started crooning, "It's the most wonderful time of the year." No? You didn't wake up on Stewardship Sunday and sing, "It's the most wonderful time of the year." Well, let's talk about it anyway. And maybe as we think about the biblical teaching of stewardship, we'll find something that maybe we can get excited about. And to be honest, I really don't know what you think about Stewardship Sunday. Maybe you don't think about it, or the teaching, that is, about stewardship. I have a sense, though, that people treat the teaching of stewardship a little bit like going to the dentist. It's something you got to do, but you can think of other things that you might prefer. I do know that when we talk about stewardship, you will often hear people talk about, you could probably say it with me, time, treasure, and talent. And I do know that when it comes to time and thinking about how am I going to devote my time to the work of the church, I know and you know that people are already being pulled in so many different directions. People aren't wanting to know what more they can do with their time. They're ready for a timeout. Remember when a timeout was a punishment? Man, we would love to have a timeout. Just go and sit for a while. Talk about treasure. How much of my treasure do I give to the work of the church? And I know this about talking about treasure. When we're talking about money, people can get kind of funny about money. I know I'm not talking to you, but somebody probably in this church gets a little bit anxious when it comes to money matters. I also know that when we talk about the talents that God gives us and how can I use my talents for the work that's being done in the church, people will often think, "Who am I? What do I have to give? What talents or gifts do I have that would benefit the work of God's kingdom?" I don't know, does this resonate at all? Maybe you connect with those sentiments, maybe not, I don't know. But on this Stewardship Sunday, let me tell you one thing that I know for sure. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is coming to judge. The Son of Man will come in glory. There will be angels with him, all the angels. He's going to sit on his glorious throne. And all the world will be held accountable. He will judge. This world is coming to an end. And we talk about this. We say this every Sunday. You could probably say it with me. We just said it. I believe in Jesus, that he will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead. Say it every Sunday. Do we live like that every what we say, does what we say every Sunday translate? Does that matter that Jesus is coming back to judge? I think it would. If we know that Jesus will judge, if we know that this world as we know it is coming to an end, that should affect the way we live, shouldn't it? That should affect our priorities, the things that we value. As a pastor, one of the great privileges I have is to be with people as they go through their journey of death and close their eyes in this world, to open their eyes in the next, and to stand, to be, to see, to, how do we say, to meet our Maker. And as I've been privileged to work with people, I've noticed that when they know the end is near, their priorities are different. Things that they value are different. I've never heard anyone say on their deathbed, you know, I wish I could have gotten one more round of golf in. No one has ever said, there's this YouTube video that I really wanted to see and I just never got around to seeing it. Jesus is coming to judge. This world is coming to an end. Our lives in this world will come to an end. And please believe me, this is not easy for me to say, because right here, right now, I have gone on public record and said that maybe I should pay attention to how much YouTube I watch. And I promise you that my beloved wife, Dawn, is going to remind me of this for the rest of my life. And I'm glad she will. Because Jesus is coming. The time is getting shorter, and I've wasted time, and I'm pretty sure you've wasted time too. How do we live when we know the end is coming? Jesus is coming to judge. That's what he teaches us. Did you notice the revelation here in this text? Did you notice the aha? Jesus tells us here that our works in this life matter. And I think sometimes we Lutherans don't get this, because we know that we can't save ourselves by our own works. Salvation is a free gift of God. And we know texts that say things like our works are like dirty rags, that I can't do anything to save myself. And I have heard Lutherans hold on to these things and take these teachings and push them in the way where they despair and say, so what's the point? I can't do anything anyway. But I don't know, Jesus is talking about the works of people and he seems pretty excited about them. Now, let me just say right here that we are not saved by our works. Text proves it. Text says that when Jesus comes, he's going to separate the sheep and the, help me out, goats, okay. And he's going to put the sheep on his right, the goats on his left. And I want you to notice that he separates them before he talks about the works. And I want you to notice that he doesn't judge them based on what they did. He judges them based on who they are. They're a sheep. They're a goat. And I'm talking to believers, those who look to Christ for salvation, who looked to the sacrificial lamb. I'm talking to people who have been made lambs through the work of Christ. But back to the text, back to this idea of our works. That doesn't mean, what's the point? I mean, while grace alone saves, grace is never alone. Listen to Jesus. He says, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you sat on the couch." No, he said, "You gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you did something. You welcomed me. I was naked, and you said, 'Uh-oh, here's some clothes.' I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." Do you hear that? Jesus has rescued you. He has freed you from oppression. He has freed you from your own sin. He has freed you from death. He has freed you from the devil himself. But that's not all Jesus has done. Now, Jesus gives you good work to do. Now, Jesus says, there are activities you can do with your time, your treasure, and your talent, your person, and they please me. In fact, Jesus says, you did it to someone else, you're actually doing it to me. If you've ever thought, what's the point? My works are filthy rags. Can't save myself, so I guess I'll just sit on the couch. Knock it off. You can actually begin to do things that truly please God. Your life has tremendous purpose. Your works matter. Well, so now we start to get it. Now, looking at the end, we start to understand what's going on in the present. Stewardship is not about what we're giving up. Stewardship is about what we're living for. So this last September and October, we had Lit by the Lamp, where we met in the front of the parsonage, and I read a book. This year, it was The Chronicles of Narnia. It was The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe by C.S. Lewis. Some of you perhaps have read this book. I love this book. When I was a child, I particularly loved this book. You know why? Because it's a story about some other kids, these four kids, whose last name is Pevensey, and they are transported out of our world into this magical world called Narnia. And there they find that a witch has put a spell over Narnia so that it's winter all the time, but never Christmas. That's horrible. No Christmas? But then, the savior character, Aslan, the lion, he comes and he rescues these four children, and then he gives them work to do. They get to fight in the battle with him. They get swords and shields and bows and arrows, and that's the bit that my imagination just ran away with. And that's the picture of the Christian life, that not only does Jesus save us, but he says we can participate with him in this work of bringing light and hope to a world that's dark and cold. Spiritually speaking, we can bring Christmas to a world that just doesn't have anything to celebrate. So notice, if that's the picture, now we're not talking about how much am I going to give up for the church. The better questions to ask are this: how are you going to fight evil? How are you going to stand up for the truth? How are you going to celebrate what's good in the world? How are you going to use your resources to do things that matter in this world? That's a different way to live, isn't it? I mean, I know you're Lutheran, but you could at least wink an amen right there. A whole new way to live, and that's what stewardship is about. It's not about what we're giving, it's about how we're living. And that requires some intentionality. And that's what I would like for us to think about as a congregation. How do we be increasingly intentional about our stewardship of God's resources for the sake of the kingdom? And that really is a struggle, because I think sometimes we just want to be busy for the sake of being busy. We just want to be found doing something so that we look like we're doing something. That doesn't work when you want to bake a cake, does it? I want to bake a cake. All right. You think you should put in some milk? Yeah, sure. How much? I don't know. Just some milk and flour. Yeah, I think you put flour in there. Let's go ahead and put some flour. Sugar? Oh yeah, definitely sugar. I like sugar. So you got to put at least 10 cups of sugar in there. Think we're done? Yeah, I guess. Let's put it in the oven. I think you put it in the oven for how long? 500 degrees? Sure. That'll get it out faster, won't it? Intentionality, purpose, paying attention to the wisdom that's been given to us in the past, paying attention to what's going on in our community and in the people in our congregation, looking at the gifts God has given us, and using our sanctified reason to do the best we can with these things. That's why today, you've been given an interest inventory. It's in your mailbox. We'll have some extras as well, where you can put down, here's the things I'm interested in doing and participating in. If nothing else, that gives us a picture of some of the things we might be able to do. As a congregation, God has given us great gifts. How do we use them intentionally? That's something we need to talk about. And then the other thing that I want you to notice about stewardship is it requires everyone. It requires everyone. Did you think that getting a pastor, new pastor, he can grow the church now? Let me just tell you, if that's what you thought, I'm sorry, you got the wrong guy. And now you're stuck. If you don't know my weaknesses yet, you will. Everyone here has got weaknesses, but here's the thing. Everyone here has been called by Christ, gifted by Christ. There's a reason that we're here together in this place at this time. This whole 20-80 rule, where 20% of the people do 80% of the work, that's just not going to work. All hands have to be on deck. Do you want the church to grow? Thank you for just outright saying it. Well, that's what we want. Everybody wants that. We'll leave that up to God and we'll see how it works. I can guarantee you this, it's going to go a lot better if everyone says, what's my part? What am I going to do? It requires everyone. A little while ago, I did a home visit, and I visited Bill and Elaine Beasley. Can I go ahead and just point you out to the congregation? And they have, was this from your daughter, that plaque? Okay. Their daughter has built this craft where it's, I don't know how to describe it. It's like a plaque, and then it's got the letters from, what's the word game where you, Scrabble, thank you. And it's got the letters from Scrabble. And here's what they put on their plaque with Scrabble letters. The church is a hospital for sinners, not a rest home for saints. I like that. So how about it, church? Which one should we be? Jesus has rescued you. He's given you good work to do. He has given you gifts and talents. And we live in a cold, dark world. And we get to use the things that God has given us to bring light, to bring joy and celebration. We get to show the world that there is something to celebrate. How will God use this congregation? The joy of being a Christian is that we get to find out. In Jesus' name.